Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about Muslim unity on the community level. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are here in the studio talking about Muslim unity on the community level. As many of you know, Muslim Unity is the week where we celebrate Muslim unity, and it also coincides with the birth anniversary of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, both according to the Ahlul Sunnah brother traditions and the Shia traditions. In order to talk a little bit about Muslim unity on the community level, we decided to invite Sayyid Bahbahani. So we're going to go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Sayyid Bahbahani, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sayyid. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-aliyyil azeem. Congratulations to you. Alhamdulillah, once again, Alhamdulillah. I'm here in the presence of you, my brother Sayyid.
Thank Inshallah. You, Jazakallah. It was a long month of Muharram and Safar. Yes. We commemorate the martyrdom and mission of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and now in this month of Rabiul Awal, of course, the 12th through the 17th of Rabiul Awal is considered to be Muslim Unity Week. So the brothers of the Ahlul Sunnah, they commemorate the birth anniversary of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi on the 12th of Rabiul Awal. And according to the Shia narrations, it's on the 17th of Rabiul Awal, and it's Muslim Unity Week. So we thought, you know, it would be so nice to invite you, have you on the talk show, and just talk a little bit about Muslim unity, not only on a general level, but also on a community level, which is something that we kind of ignore. We hand it over to you, Sayyid, in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you, Sayyid. It is such a blessing coincidence that also last year, I was invited for the Unity Week talk show, and we have had talk about the different aspect of unity and the meaning of unity in a general perspective.
Right.
And we had basically pointed out to some of the quotation from Rahbar Muazzam, and also maybe is not such a bad idea to start again with the point of view of our leader, sure. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei Hafizahullah, which basically this speech and the lecture of him, it's a recent lecture that he delivered during the Hajj time and just this year.
Right.
And he talked about the unity, and he basically pointed out very important perspective toward this concept.
Sure,
that,
sure.
Briefly basically summarizing what he said.
Okay.
Those important point about our subject. Basically, he's talking about this weakness in different area, for example, economical, political, educational aspect of Islamic countries around the world. He comes down to the subject that this is because we are not united.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to describe the unity. Of course, he gives lots of motivation in his lecture that this world is a different world. This era is a different era that we are living in.
Yes.
That the youth, especially the those people that are in academic level, they should think about this subject, about Muslim unity in this region, which is mostly in the West Asia region.
Yes.
Yeah. And he goes to point out that what he means and what it means unity for Ummah in a general level.
And again, this is from a speech that Aga gave about 2 to 3 months ago, right?
Yes.
We're in Rabiul Awal, then you had Safar, you had Muharram, and then in Dhul-Hijjah is when he gave this,
exactly.
this just, Hajj speech.
Just in the beginning of, in the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah, that he says the unity is not about be united in mazhab, in religion. Unity is not about being politically united, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. Even he pointed out to unity to be a geographical mm-hmm. unity. No, it's not this.
Right.
What we meant by unity, and he refers to also Imam Ali's khutbah in Nahj al-Balagha, that it is very important to be united. And I don't remember which khutbah is,
but
Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَانْذُرُوا مَا صَارُوا إِلَيْهِ, that means look what is happening to them by basically getting dispersed and division.
And disunited.
And he continues, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, they become weaker and basically they lose their power and all these things. So he refers to this khutbah, our Rahbar Muazzam, that the weakness and these problems, the struggles that we face in the Muslim country, mostly because of this concept of not paying attention to this concept of unity among the ummah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. I mean, I just wanted to add in there. So, for example, sometimes people have a tendency to think that Muslim unity means that, Shias and Sunnis, they will agree on their beliefs or their principles or the khilafa and these kind of things. And this is interesting that Rahbar al-Muazzam, right, the esteemed leader, he talks about how this is not what is meant. A Shia remains a Shia, a Sunni remains a Sunni, but they are united in this common mission and this common goal together without...
Not only a Shia Sunni.
Yeah.
Even Christians and Jews that they are living in Muslim country, they could stay within the religion, right?
Right.
But what we're talking about, he says the unity is to be united in order to protect the benefits of the Islamic Ummah, Islamic countries.
Right.
So he says, in order to do this, we have to first understand what are the benefits, what are the advantages, what are the basically the points that these countries need to do, who are the enemies. He pointed out that we have to understand who are the enemies of Islamic Ummah.
Right, and the progress and the development of the Islamic Ummah.
He basically bring it down to one phrase, one word, that he says, unity basically means to be united against istikbar.
These arrogant powers. And colonial powers,
which are basically all these Islamophobia, all these anti-Islamic group, they're coming from this group of basically oppressors and arrogant powers. Because they know if they do not do this, Islam basically will get stronger.
Right.
And of course, brother, everyone knows that if everyone knows about the rich, countries that they are under the rule of Islam, the Muslims, basically, and they know if these countries they become united, they're going to be a huge, benefit for the Muslim, and they're going to be facing a powerful regime, and powerful, basically, group of people.
Just to add...
And of course, they're going to be afraid of this.
Yeah, they're
and
afraid.
Of course, they're going to plot so many...
Right, so according to some of the numbers, there's approximately 1.9 billion Muslims present in the world today. And so it comes down to almost 25%. So that means out of every four people on the planet, one of them is a Muslim.
Exactly.
And there is, that is a great amount of potential and power.
Exactly.
If they all become united. And as you said, then this is why we see these kind of strategies and plans and plots to break these people apart.
To break these people,
and
create so many problems and struggles for the Muslim countries, so they become occupied by these social underground problems that they cannot think and see the bigger picture of the blessing of Allah that they have in their possession. Right. And this is one of the blessings that all the ummah has is that is the existence of Islamic country, Islamic hukuma, Islamic government as Jumhuriya Islami Iran.
Sure.
The Islamic country after revolution.
Sure.
You know, And everybody that they are listening, even Sunnis, brother, they know I have talked to them when I go around in Europe, in USA, Canada. I know that I heard so many times from these older generation Muslim that they were living in those countries. They said after revolution, it was such a different
environment
for us. Before that, we were all مثلاً weak and not having enough self-confidence and all these things. But after the revolution, we could raise our head, walk straight in the street, and we had a lot of confidence as to be a Muslim.
Right.
Because before that, they would say, what is Islam for? Yeah. Islam is only for our room to pray and fast and do our zikr. No. And now we say, no, Islam is actually for everything.
Yeah.
Islam is there for as a governing a society.
Right.
You know, so this is a very different point of view,
right,
a different perspective and approach to Islam that gives lots of room to basically bring up to the table as academic discussion, as different discussion and topics in order to show the real Muhammadan Islam. So alhamdulillah, this is one of the very important blessing that we have in our hands. And of course, we have to alhamdulillah, one of the blessing also is having such a wise leader that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, that he's not after power, or he's not arrogant and selfish in order to force other countries. As leaders' perspective and mentality about, for example, the freedom of Iraqian, the freedom of Syrian, the freedom of Afghan, it's always been that we help the Iraqi to get their freedom and istiqlal and their independency by themselves.
Right, by themselves, yeah.
You know, if they need help, we help them.
Yeah.
You know,
but let them grow on their own.
Exactly. Yeah. Or Syria, the same thing, the problem with the Syria, the Syrian people, with the problem with Afghan people, the problem with Pakistani people, all these countries, Yemen people. So the strategy of Islamic Republic of Iran, it was that we help them in order that they themselves create their independent government, their independent Islamic, inshallah, government.
Sure.
And there was never a strategy in order to basically,
dominate.
No domination strategy.
Right. Which, very quickly, it is the opposite of what you see with the arrogant powers.
Exactly.
Or the imperialist, colonialist powers.
Exactly.
There, the agenda is to dominate, subjugate, steal the resources. You know, even to the present day, it is common knowledge that the United States of America is stealing oil from Syria and many times transporting it to Iraq, and then, God knows where it goes from there. But this is what the arrogant powers and colonial imperialist powers
do. Even in Afghanistan, You know how many, I have so many Afghan friends, and they're always talking about how much of their natural resources has been stole by Americans.
Yeah.
Huge numbers of tons of these natural resources.
Yeah, Afghanistan,
opium and all these things.
Yeah, Afghanistan, for example, has one of the largest reserves of talcum powder, which is baby powder.
And
something that is used all over the world. It has one of the largest reserves of semi-precious stones, rubies, and sapphires.
These precious stones,
And then it also has one of the largest reserves of lithium, if I'm not mistaken.
And opium, too, for the medical purposes.
And opium for medical purposes. Unfortunately, it's used in the drug trade as well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But yeah, like you said, they've gone to all these countries.
Another subject is in Iraq. Yeah. In Iraq, they came and destroyed all the these facilities of electricity, as water circulation, all these things, and they wanted to sign the contract with the Iraqis in order that they themselves they took over these companies, and they bring their own people and their companies in order to make money. And
Halliburton was a very famous company, where the vice president of the United States, Dick Cheney, he had some kind of contacts in Halliburton, and I mean, it's quite corruption and this kind of stuff going on. But you find that, another thing that's really interesting, for example, I'm still trying to confirm it, even though I've read it on the news, and that is that the income that Iraq gains from the selling of its oil has to first go to American banks. And from American banks, it goes then to, you know, wherever
they divide,
Iraqi banks
some percentage
and, you know,
to them,
and that kind of stuff.
Them, yeah.
You know, so as we were saying, this is what the Erdogan powers do.
Exactly.
And the Islamic Republic has not done that.
Compared with Iran, right now, I saw a documentary about Syria that...
Sure.
Syrian people, they were basically complaining about why Iranians do not come here and open the company and, you know, making business in our country.
Right, right.
And Iraq, you could, you know, there's a lot of, alhamdulillah, our audiences, probably they had been blessed to go to Arba'in.
Arba'in, yeah.
You know, all these harams, all these shrines of Ma'sumin, it mostly was built with by Iranians and was actually funded by the Khayirin and Iran and lots of Maraja offices and all these things. But did you see any Iranian working in the shrine?
No.
Did you see any Iranian to dominating the management system of these shrines?
Or even any sign that says that millions of dollars have been donated by Iran.
Exactly. So that you don't see any footstep or trace of that Iran wants to say, I am here, I did this. Mm. Only the people that, you know, they have contacts, they are sitting with the ulamas and they say...
And they're giving money. They're not taking anything in return.
Exactly. And you know, all these shrines are beautiful shrines. Mashallah, it was amazing. Samarra, it was about 5 years I didn't have the chance to go Samarra. This year I went, it's amazing.
Yeah,
amazing. And you know, these huge investment, or you could say huge donations that it went there and they build the shrines, it makes it, well, right now we see 22 million people go there, but the capacity, it must grow. You know, we're looking at something at 50 and 100 millions in future.
Yeah, in the future,
of people to go for Arba'in, right? So all these facilities, what's going to happen? It's going to boost the economic situation of Iraq.
Right.
It's going to boost also the tourism effect and basically the number of tourists that they go there. All this, is there any interest there for Iran?
Yeah, it's all interest for Iraq.
Exactly. Same thing, you know. So there is lots of comparison that we could see that some people, even within the country in Iran, they say, why we spend so much money in Lebanon, in Afghanistan, in other places, and we do not spend
Palestine,
money. Yeah, this is like
Syria.
A big question. And you could see that this is exactly what it comes down, that we believe in unity among ummah. Mm. We should help each other, but without expectation. We're helping each other in order to prove and to help improving each other's state of economical state or educational state, whatever, but without expectation or domination.
Sure. It's interesting, on one of the talk shows we kind of talked about it, but this idea of so you have kind of two kind of helping. You have one helping, which is a selfish helping, meaning I help you so that I get something in return.
You
this
owe
is
something.
What the Western model really promotes, is help others because it's going to benefit you. But this Islamic model is to help others even if it doesn't benefit you, but it still helps the other person. You know, sirfan, for helping that individual, you are helping an individual, a very selfless kind of helping, which we see the Islamic Republic of Iran doing.
Exactly. Mm. Well, alhamdulillah. So this is like a very broad general view that, of course, our leader, as I said it so many times to my friend and, you know, other people, that don't take leader as other maraja. You know, other maraja, they have... probably their own offices and tolabs and, you know, professional people that they come to them and they bring the different problem of the society or different question that is being asked. So the marajas start thinking on those question with their group and probably ending up by giving a fatwa or, you know, stick to the same fatwa that they have.
Sure.
But what is happening with rahbar, with this alhamdulillah wise, you know, imam and leader that we have been blessed with, is that he has access to Artesh, he has access to an army. He has access to basically a Sazman Etelaat, basically
Information, intelligence.
Intelligence, information.
Information in general.
Yeah, sure. Organizations. He has access to many, academic and intelligence people, which are in the top, basically, level of their field. So, and also he has access to all information that's happening around the globe.
Right.
So, within his perspective, when he talks about unity, of course, when we want to open the subject with his perspective, we have to talk general and seeing the ummah
because it is,
within
yeah,
the global, yeah, you know,
movement.
Movement, exactly.
But this is interesting. So before we go to the community level, I just wanted to kind of close
down,
that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that that on this whole international level, excuse me, Rahbar-e Azam, he's talking about two things. One, of course, is to be very careful of the common enemy of the Muslim Ummah and their plots and their designs to weaken the Muslim Ummah and create disunity. And the other one, of course, was the idea that Muslim unity, the mission is to do, you know, the things
protection.
That benefit and protect
protecting the benefits.
The benefits of the Muslim Ummah in general.
Yeah, and to be against the enemies. Yeah, exactly. So basically, this is the unity that we are talking about here.
Excellent.
And so this unity, of course, has different level to basically talking about it. The subject, it's very important. Of course, one of the things that I always said, that unity as a tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we see in all the scripture of Quranic or Rivaya, narration of scriptures, that they are emphasizing on the tawheed. Basically, it's like if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to be obsessed about tawheed. You know, that today, in today's society, they say whoever want to become successful, he must be obsessed about the road, that the path that he take, or the goals that he has.
Sure.
If you are not obsessed, you're not going to take basically
the
hardship and
level,
all the struggles. You're not going to have enough resistance in order to reach your goal, right? So same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ. If you believe in Tawheed, if you are focusing and become obsessed about Allah, there is la ilaha illa, there is no God but Allah, then you begin to become successful, right? So this is another level of unity that we are talking about, that within the aspect of judging, the perspective that we have towards reality, the perspective that we have towards things that happen to us or to our family or to the ummah, on different level, it must comes down under the umbrella of Tawheed, under the umbrella of unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we are, so this is like an individual level, right? Individual perspective towards the haqiqah, the truth, right? It must have sort of unity, right? And when we come to one of the things that I see, because alhamdulillah, I had this tawfiq in order to go to tabligh every Muharram and Ramadan,
yes.
And I see different communities around the world that they are struggling with this unity on the community level.
Interesting.
Right.
And unfortunate.
Unfortunately. And you could see that Shaitan is attacking. Like, you could clearly understand that Shaitan doesn't want the Muslim community to get united. Right. So, of course, when, for example, Imam Ali alayhi salam in khutbah 127 starts saying, "Walzimu sawad al-azam." So we go and join the groups, right?
Yes, yeah.
And when he talks about groups, it doesn't mean any groups. He wants to say groups of mu'mineen.
Yeah, mashallah.
Right? For example, Imam Ali in another khutbah, I guess 201, he says, "Wala tastawhishu fi tariq al-huda min qillat ahli." Do not become afraid. Do not become stressed in the path of hidayah, in the path of guidance, about the
not having enough people.
Not having or less number of people that you see.
Subhanallah.
So what we're talking about, do not look at the numbers or the size of the mu'minin group. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says the same. You know, everything that Imams and Ahl Bayt they are coming up and they, we alhamdulillah, they teach us, it's coming from Quran also.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So, Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran regime, it says, in Quran al Kareem, it says, in Surah Ma'adah, verse 100, he says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ That khabith and purity, they are not equal, right?
Yes.
And he says, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ الْخَبِيثُ And even if you are amazed, if you are surprised by the, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ That means the greatness, the huge number of impurity, even if it amazes you, even if this basically
it scares you, surprises you,
shocks you, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ Do not forget. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ That means what? تُفْلِحُونَ It means if you want to become successful.
Yeah, salvation.
As I said prosperity. So many times, حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ means hurry up. Hasten towards success. Islam is a religion of success.
Right.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out in here that for this path towards success, if you want to become success, ya ulil albab, all the intellect, all those one that are reflecting, all those one that they are worrying about yourself, all those one that they are seeking the truth, ya ulil albab means all this. Those one that they have basically the intellect. Their apple and their intellect and their reason is awake.
Right.
Those aware people. So if you do want to become successful, have taqwa, even if you are in a less number. Mm. Even if you see lots of people in number, or lots of, this propaganda and advertisement that the joint and the army of shaitan, the army of impurity shows himself as to be the dominated power of the world.
Right.
Do not become scared. Why? Because la yastawi al-khabithu wat-tayyib. Because these two are not equal.
MashaAllah.
These two are not equal.
And
it might take a long time, but this is only the first two words of Imam Ali in Khutbah 127 that you could talk about. You know, it opens so many doors of knowledge. Why so many people comes to me and says, when they come visiting Iran and they see some of disordered compared to some European countries, right? And they're amazed and they're shocked. So how this country with so many disorder, as a facilities and bureaucracy system, they are standing against
the whole world.
The whole world. And this is exactly it.
Yeah.
You have one deed in your life, in the whole time of your life that is pure, that deed gonna save you for internal life. So wallat yastawil khabithu wat tayyib. Impurity and purity is not equal.
Right. And we were saying that those small number of people, if they become disunited, then it totally
This is the next phrase. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَإِنَّ يَدَ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ Be careful. Indeed, this is like the advice that he gives.
Yeah, the
Be
warning.
Careful that the hand of Allah is with group. So inshallah we continue the rest, but you look, I just want to say yad Allah, it means the support of Allah.
Yeah, the power of Allah.
The power of Allah.
The strength of Allah.
That in the Quran, some of the group of Bani Israel and the Jewish people in Quran says that they say yadullah, that the hands of Allah is tight. His power is basically
limited, constrained.
Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that these people, because they said this, they are la'an, they are being cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, where is the yadullah? Where is the yadullah? In the verses of Quran, it says, yadullahi fawqa aydihim. Why he says this? This is after that he's talking about the mu'mineen and those people that they raise their hand to pledge allegiance with Allah. Allah says, I put my hand over their hand, accepting their allegiance, accepting their pledge, and I will support them. Yadullah fawaidim in that a specific verse, yeah. verse mm. it refers to the support and the help of Allah towards those people that they pledge allegiance to the path of truth. To sacrifice everything for Allah. بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي وَنَفْسِي وَمَالِي It means exactly this. I sacrifice everything that I inherited from my father or the emotion and the love that my mother gave. I will sacrifice everything, not only this, my nafs, myself, my position, everything that I possess for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which is the same path.
Right. So Sayyid, you're talking about how your experiences when you go to these communities and you find disunity. I kind of wanted to bring it back towards that, you know, and as you said, that shaitan is involved here in trying to break up these communities. And of course, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he has emphasized on being together, the mu'mineen, and being united. If you could kind of talk a little bit about that.
So exactly, what, you bring it to the subject. So when Imam Ali...
Well, what are some of the things that are creating this disunity? And what do we need to do in order to remain united, especially communities so
just,
that are...
Just finishing this part is that why I went to opening the word yad, or yadullah, what it means, is exactly this, that when Imam Ali says, فَإِنَّ يَدَ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala power. What kind of power we're talking about? You know, there is a verse of Quran that says, يَا مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزُعُ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ تُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ We have so many verses of Quran with the إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ
Right.
That he talks about that the power of Allah and the support of Allah, that will of Allah, it's dominating over all the other will and power. Sure. So when Imam Ali said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ that Allah's hand and support is with the jama'ah of mu'mineen, it's very important to listen to this. It's very important aspect.
Right, of course, yeah.
Right? And Imam Ali, in the next phrase, it exactly brings up the negative part. It just advises, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْفُرْغَةِ إِيَّاكُمْ My brother and sister, they know we said it in the Surah Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ is like emphasize that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ There's no other thing that I worship except you. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ It's only and only and only you that I'm asking help to.
Right.
Here Imam Ali alayhi salam says, إِيَّاكَ وَالْفُرْقَ be careful about dispersion, about division, about fitna. So this, basically, when it comes to community, it covers so many things. It covers backbiting. It covers a negative judgment towards one another. You have to be careful because it is these negative issues, it is these negative perspective that's going to break up the community. As one of my brother yesterday, they have this discussion. When you see a mistake from another brother or sister, mu'min and mu'mina, when you see a wrong action, when you see something, a wrong deed, try to justify, try to bring 70, this is Imam Ali alayhi salam narration, try to bring 70 justification and reasons about his deed in order to not let your brain, not let those whispering in your brain to... start judging negatively about your brothers and sisters.
And break that unity.
Break that unity. This That's is exactly
very interesting.
The point.
Yeah.
So the unity is important. Why Salat al-Jama'ah? Why Zidai Kumail? Why Ziyat al-Ashur? Why all these things is more compensated in group? Why we go to these centers in order to basically be together, listening to a member? Is it just a ritual thing that we just got used to it? No, it's about getting united.
Right.
You know? Getting united. So after that, Imam Ali alayhi salam, this khutbah on the 27, basically advise us and give us a comparison with a very beautiful comparison, metaphoric comparison. He says, فَإِنَّ شَازَ مِنَ النَّاسِ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَأَنَّ شَازَ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ لِلذَّئْبِ So he says that It compares that as wolf, it goes and attack to that sheep that has been separated or deviated from the fold of sheep, the same thing shaitan will attack to that person that has been deviated and separated the group the of mu'minin.
The group of mu'minin.
And it doesn't say like, the word that he used is not like about attack, so now he has to attack back and defend himself and all this. No, he says, "Less shaitan." It is for shaitan. That means it's finished. He cannot resist towards this attack. This is exactly what it means. It means that when someone separate from a group of mu'mineen, disperse from the, deviate from the group of mu'mineen and become alone, shaitan right away dominate him. There's no attack and defense. It's about domination.
Yeah, it's finished. Game over.
It's really bad. It's really, it's a very strong advice.
Yeah, it's quite scary too.
It's quite scary.
This importance
At the end, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, if someone had called anyone in this society, in your group, had called to division, even if he is under the imamah, even if he in his khutbah, he points out to his imamah and he says, even if he is under of my imamah, kill him.
Because he's promoting disunity.
Because he's promoting
and disunity. Fitna and discord and discord. Chaos and weakness amongst the Muslims.
So we come up to the bigger picture. You see how unity is important.
Yes.
If we were united, my brother, Sayyid Shahyar, if the communities around the world, this Muslim community around the world, they were united,
right?
Could these governments, could these political system in Europe, in anywhere, in those countries, they force these LGBTQ subject in the school of our children? Could they do, masalan, these basically riots and these demonstrations
and these protests and,
that they have? Of course not. This is because we think unity is about coming together and sitting and reciting Dua Kumail.
Right.
This is the beginning, my brother. You have to, when you come as a unity, it comes back to the same subject that our beloved leader Sayyid Ali Khamenei said in the broader picture. Unity is for protecting the benefits of Islam. So it comes down to community. It means protecting this benefit of our family, protecting our family, our children, the society.
I know it might be a little bit removed, but maybe it's really not. But I thought about how this shutting down of the Islamic Center of London and how all of this plays a role and is connected to one another, right? The center was promoting the interests of the community in the London greater area, in Britain, you know, helping and supporting British Muslims, helping and supporting British non-Muslims, a lot of their charity work and things like that, right? And how they were united in order to help these benefits of the people, and how unfortunate it was that it was closed down, and the different things that are still going on with that case. But here, you know, we saw how the center was protecting the families and protecting the youth, and this kind of a move that was done by the government of the UK.
So let me point out to one of the vital, important aspects that basically create this kind of passive, basically communities or passive group of mu'mineen, right? And centers around the world.
Sure.
And this is the identity that these system they have injected into the brain of our brothers and sisters that they are living there. And the identity is that when you come, masalan, live in London or living in Europe or whatever country,
Los Angeles,
you are a citizen of this country. Or less than that, you are an immigrant.
Immigrant
from a third world country.
Who lives in this first world country.
And this exactly, this identity creates a kind of reality for you in front of your eyes, that your deen, your religion becomes separated from your deeds and actions. and plans and a strategy that you take while you're living there.
Sure.
You should not forget that this love of Imam Hussein, this blessed basically hidayah, this blessed guidance that you got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being given to you easily. There is so many people that they fought in order to keep protected this love until it got to you and your generation.
Right.
When you go to another country, don't forget that you are representative of Haq in that country.
Of
you
truth. Are
of truth. You are not a citizen of Switzerland, or you are not a citizen of England, or you are not a citizen of USA. You are the representative, before all these things, you are representative of truth.
Of truth.
This is very important, my brother Sayyid, that they pay attention of their identity, why they want to plan and they strategize themselves individually and then community-wise.
And create that unity.
Create that unity. And they will see, they will get to this point that if there is no unity among those community members in active level of basically political and educational and other aspect of life, they will lose their next generation.
Yeah.
They if not the next generation.
Yeah, for sure. Sayyid Babani, I don't know. We took a lot of your time. I know you were on a kind of a tight schedule, but we appreciate your coming, talking about Muslim unity on the different levels, especially the community level. And again, congratulations to you on the birth anniversary of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, as well as Islamic Unity Week. And dear viewers, thank you so much for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We were talking about the various different aspects and intricacies of Islamic Unity and Muslim Unity Week. Our congratulations to you all, wherever you are, upon the birth anniversary of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Until another talk show, fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.